this is Angelica Owens.
And this is Tamira Bell.
In this podcast, we will be talking about Chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10 of How to Lie with Statistics by Daryl Huff. So first, we're going to be talking about Chapter 7, and it talks about the semi-attached figure. And he starts off saying that if you can't prove what you want to prove, demonstrate something else and pretend that they're the same thing. So he also goes on to say about that you can't prove that your nostrum cures colds, but you can publish a sworn laboratory report that half an ounce of the stuff killed 31,108 germs in a test tube in 11 seconds. So that's a lot of information taken. So what he is saying there is that, you know, we say that such and such or whatever cures whatever we're, you know, like a cold, a cancer, whatever. But a lot of people can't really prove it a lot of times, and that they would rather, you know, do something else, like kind of stray off of the fact that they can't prove it just to make sure that, you know, we'll like think that, you know, it's true.
Yeah, so basically in this example, so he says the nostrum is this is a type of germ. It you can't prove that this cures colds, but they said that in the laboratory report, it said that they in the test tube, it killed like 31,000 germs in a test tube in 11 seconds. And so while the scientists could not prove that it did not, that one specific germ, nostrum, I think it's called, it could not cure a cold, it says that it killed all these other germs. So basically, although it did not cure a cold, they're going to publish that it killed all these germs. And this is going to make the consumer think that, oh, this product is awesome because it kills so many germs. And, it's okay. So basically, what this the advertisers are going to try to do is say, oh, they're not going to publish that it did not cure a cold, but they're going to publish that it killed all these germs, and that's going to make the consumer think that this medicine is good because it didn't kill all the germs. I mean, they killed all the germs, and so the consumer's like, okay, it killed all these germs, so it's probably going to kill my cold germs. So that's an example of a semi-attached figure because of the fact that, you know, you can't prove one thing, but you can beat it around the bush and say, oh, this, you proved another thing, so, oh, it killed all these germs. So that's probably going to push aside the fact about the cold and make you think that, oh, you're making them think to do the same thing.
So he also talks about on page 76, he says that 20% of a large sample of MSN physicians smoke Throaties more than any other brand. Then he also goes on to say, ask different questions like, do doctors know any more about tobacco brands than you do? Do they have any inside information that permits them to choose the least harmful among cigarettes? So, you know, by them being physicians, first off, I want to say this. Who would have thought physicians, like, you know, smoke cigarettes at all? But, so that's just one thing I wanted to mention. But, also, I'm thinking, like, when I read that, I was thinking to myself, you know, why is it 27% of this large sample of them? And then I wanted to talk about the questions that he brought up. Does doctors know any more about tobacco brands than you do? Yes. So that's probably also another reason why they chose that particular brand of cigarettes, because it is less harmful for your body. And they know more about cigarette brands, so that's probably why they chose that particular brand to smoke, because it's less harmful for you. You know, they can't die from it.
However, he's saying that do doctors know inside secrets about tobacco brands more than you do?
Probably.
Or do they choose to smoke because it's a better cigarette? Irregardless, it's all cigarettes, all nicotine, all these different chemicals, so it's still harming your body. And so your doctor, it's no less harmful effect. So it does it. So it's just saying that, oh, because your doctor does it, it's making it the same as, oh, you should smoke it because your doctor does. But the doctor doesn't know any different things, any different information than what you know.
Right, and also, you know, just because they're doctors, you know, they think that, or people think that doctors are smarter with everything, and they know more about, you know, cigarettes and chemicals and what's bad for you, when in reality, I mean, they may know a little bit more, but they, you know, they're not really, they don't know as much more as, like, you know, say, like someone that does studies on cancer. They probably know more so about, you know, nicotine and tobacco and all that good stuff than, you know, regular doctors do. So, do you want to talk about chapter 7? Okay, so now we're moving on to chapter 8 of, you know, the book. So it talks about a study where they wanted to find out if cigarette smokers makes lower college grades than non-smokers, which they found out to be true. In the particular study that was done, so it talks about that if B follows A, then A has caused B, and that, you know, if a lot of college students choose to smoke because, you know, it's all about you know, influences and peer pressure and stuff. So in college, you know, they choose to smoke, and then by smoking, they get lower grades because of it.
So this chapter is basically about correlations. Here they're saying if B followed A, then A is the cause of B. And so this is not necessarily true, because basically they're saying, like, because a student smokes, then he has bad grades. And they're saying because he has bad grades, this is causing them to smoke. But this is an example of a correlation, because this is not always true. So it can either be a positive correlation or a negative correlation. And in this case, it depends on the case, but for instance, like, some people do assume that if a student is smoking, then he probably has bad grades, because the student has bad grades, then he's a smoker. But, like, it depends on how big the study is, how big the sample is, because if they find out that it's because it can be closely correlated, it can be positively correlated, but it also can be negatively correlated, because, like, meaning they have nothing to do with each other. But in this case, they're very close, so I would say that smoking and grades are a positive correlation, because they're very close, and people may assume that they cause each other, but I don't think that they're actually related. But in some cases, they do have an effect on each other, and this is essentially just like a trick and a manipulation that, like, a lot of advertisers use publications use to show, like, cause and effect. So if one thing causes, if one thing happens, this causes another thing causing. So it's basically showing trigger effects. And, like, a lot of studies use it, a lot of advertisers use it, but this is not always true, because one thing may not bring in the result of another thing.
So now we're moving on to chapter 9, which is entitled How to Statistics Calculate. And so this chapter talks about statistics calculation, which is also called manipulation. And so in this chapter, One particular thing that it touches on is the money or the national income that's spent and taken by the federal government based on different states. So it has two maps here, and the map shows the portion of national income that is now being taken and spent by the federal government. And it does that by shading the areas of the states west of Mississippi to indicate the federal spending and how it's become equal to the total incomes of people of those states. The deception lines in choosing states having large areas, but because of the sparse population, relatively small incomes. So, with equal honesty or dishonesty, the map might have started shading in New York or New England, and can come out with a vastly smaller and impressive shadow. So, you know, the states that is west of it, the states that are west of Mississippi, have been spending more of the federal government money than the other states.
Yeah, so essentially in this chapter about how to just calculate, basically it's like about manipulation in using statistics. So the author, Daryl Huff, he talks about how statisticians, they manipulate the readers by using statistics, and how it's an art and a science in the same way. But they put a lot of misleading, like, statisticians put a lot of misleading things out there to deceive the readers. And so, he gives us ways to look out for it, to look out for their tricks. And for instance, like, one thing that he says to look out is, like, in a graph, look at the y-axis, because most of the time statisticians, they will like make a finer y-axis scale. So for instance, if the scale, if the data in the y-axis is, the y-axis is from 0 to 100, but all the data in the y-axis is from like 80. It starts at 80 and like ends at 90. So what their statisticians were trying to do is to cut off the graph. So they'll probably cut off like from 0 to, I guess, 75 in the graph. And then they'll start at 80. And then like, so they'll have it from 80 to 100. And then they'll stretch it out even more to make it seem really finer. So they might have like the decimals. And like it'll be like 85, the number will be like 85.1, 85.2, 85.3. And like it'll just make the y-axis finer to stretch out the data and to really mislead the reader. And another thing, he said to look out for is percentages. Statisticians often use percentages instead of decimals, because you can't really tell anything with percentages, but with decimals you know the hard numbers. So like you often have to look at the percentages and calculate them back into like numbers and things like that.
Or another thing to look out for is misleading income. What they do is they combine you know, the parents and the children, and you know, everyone that should be making money, and combine that instead of that being the income, instead of using just the people that work's income.
Yeah, so this can be very misleading, because like instead of combining the number of people, I mean, so what they're doing is combining the number of people in the household and that are especially children. And using and multiplying the income per person per capita, and making that the income, instead of just taking the two people who work in the household and using that to report the data. And so that's how kind of the results get skewed and are misleading, because it's going to show that larger families have more income when that may not be true, and that smaller families have less income when that may not be true. So they should do in, like, not just find the average, but, like, say, how many people are above this amount, or how many people are below this amount. So, that's chapter 9.
Okay, so now we're going to get into the last chapter, chapter 10, which is entitled How to Talk Back to Statistics. And this chapter talks about how to avoid all of the deceptions discussed in the book. So it gives you 5 simple questions to think about and answer to yourself. So the first question is, who says so? And in that question, or in this question, it's asked that who is behind this information? Is it an institution of a good reputation, or is it a layman? The who affects the reliability of the information.
Yeah, so like when you're looking for who says so, you want to look for bias. Like, who is saying, where is this information coming from? Who is publishing this information? And the bias that will come with it, and like how it will be favored, how like the people who are publishing it, how they're trying to portray their favorable information and use trickery and cover up things and try to use and using the word average to, but it's like not a correct measure of things. So the first thing to look for is who is saying this information, and how is it biased?
The next question is, how does he know in what way the information was known and then was it reliable? Oh, and also, did people respond honestly? And if the answers to these questions come satisfactory, then the reliability is up to the mark.
So the next question is what is missing? And so basically, when we look at what is missing, we have to look for what information they leave out. If they're saying the average, we have to look at what average they're talking about and try to figure out the mean or the median, and what percentages and raw figures are given, and like what raw numbers or figures are missing. And like, for instance, the number is like how many people are observed, or how many people are in a sample population, or things like that. And so those things, they are really important to look out for, because they are the ones that, you know, cause the change to happen. So the fourth question is, did someone change the subject? And this is basically what we talked about in chapter 7, which was the semi-attached figure. It's saying, well, they prove, you can't prove what you want, so we try to prove something else and try to make it seem like they're the same thing. So that's basically changing the subject. So something that we have to look out for is if the people who are presenting this statistic, if they tried to change the subject. And so you have to watch out for the raw figures and basically what is being said and the conclusion that comes out by it.
Okay, so the last question is, does it make sense? So basically, you want to make sure that the statistics and the numbers and all of the things that, you know, go along with stats is that it makes sense. So you want to, you know, go over the data maybe and, you know, make sure that it sounds good and that you're not saying something that isn't really true or that, you know, doesn't make sense at all, because there are certain things that you say or that people say that when people listen back to it, they'll be like, wait a minute, that doesn't even add up. What are they trying to say? So, yeah. Okay. So, that's our last podcast for chapters 7, 8, 9, and 10, and we hope you enjoy this.